It's my pleasure this morning. I went over to Faith Chapel and delivered the message there as my part of Unity Sunday. So I got it done in time to come back and be a part of this service, and I'm just so thankful for that. It's my privilege to introduce to you someone that I know, all of you know, Dr. Russell Moldovan. Russ is the senior minister at the Blanchard Church of Christ, and someone that I've come to consider a friend as I've been here in this community, and I'm just so thankful to be able to hear him share the word with us today. So, Russell.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, from your friends and at the Blanchard Church of Christ. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. I want to express my appreciation to Chris and Greta Davis and their ministry. I appreciate what they do in pointing you to Jesus Christ and our whole community. And on many, many occasions, Chris has come and helped us in our ministry, particularly our King's Kids ministry, driving bus for us, and also mentoring our youth pastor some. And I do really value your friendship, your partnership in the Lord, and all that you're doing and in shepherding the people of Liberty Baptist Church. Want to also thank Chris and Dreda for their patience with me. Earlier in the week, I sent my sermon title and some items for worship this morning. And then on the way to the office on Friday, I did an about face and thought, I think I'm going to preach something else. So that happens sometimes. So we hope it's from the Spirit. And if not, then I'll take the blame. But I appreciate their patience. So the notes that you have in here are going to be a little different than what I'm going to talk about this morning. I know many of you know Gail Coffer, who used to teach over at Liberty Curtin, and she's been missionary now for 24 years in Vietnam. My wife and I had a chance back in October to fly to Vietnam and to stay with her for about 8 or 9 days. And it was really neat to see her in her ministry. She has about 250 English students, and already some have come to the Lord through that. And so we had a chance to go worship with them on a Sunday. And you think in Vietnam, it's still a communist country, that the Christian faith might be, something that's handled very delicately and maybe not growing as it could. But when we worshiped on Sunday, the church was packed. And there was an overflow section as well. And the preacher preached the word. So I'm sure they have to be very, very careful of what they say. People there still are very cautious about offering any criticism regarding the government. But we heard the word preached, and something that happened during worship that I saw, and I came back and actually shared with our people there. I shared with you. There are going to be some lists and slides up here. If you want to, while we were there, they took their phones out. They take pictures. That's how they kept their notes. So if you see something here that you find worthwhile, you're welcome to do that, because I do have a few lists here that you might find helpful. Because my goal this morning is this. I just want to encourage you in your walk in the Lord. Because I do believe as we are closer to the Lord, we'll be closer to each other. And remember, Jesus prayed for that for us. That we would be one as he and the Father are one. So here we go. We're going to jump in this morning. And before we do, I just want to offer a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for this day. It is cold outside. It is slick as well. Be with your people as they go to and fro in the various houses of worship, dear Lord. We just want folks to be safe. We pray you'll bless them as they gather in your name to celebrate Jesus and his love for them, your love for all of us, dear God, as you gave your Son on our behalf. I pray that you'll use this time to glorify yourself, to encourage your people here, and continue to be patient with us and show us grace, dear Father. We thank you for your unending mercies and the ways in which you continue to use us, even though we can fall short so many ways. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to open up with some words from the Apostle Paul as we think about unity this morning. This is a great text to memorize if you're into that discipline. It's not a very complicated text, not a very long text. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16-18. Rejoice always, Paul says. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So whether we are in a season of happiness or a season of suffering, we are told to have joy. And joy does so much for our Christian life and our Christian walk. It what it does for us is it helps produce gratitude. It also reminds us of our redemption in Jesus Christ and the eternal blessings we have in Him. It also encourages our fellowship together, and it strengthens our Christian unity. And again, that was Jesus' prayer for us, that we would be one. Joy is our witness to others that our faith is not tied up in the temporal circumstances and the fickle outcomes of this world. Instead, it is centered on the steadfast love and the eternal power of Jesus Christ. Rejoicing always and being thankful in all circumstances, you know as well as I, that is not always easy. It's easier said than done. We have this enemy we should not forget. And he is always trying to undo the blessings that God wants to give us. And also to keep us from carrying out God's will in our lives. The devil is constantly coming at us. I sometimes refer to it as Team Jesus and Team Satan. And when you go to God's Word, God's very clear on what He wants from us and how He wants us to love one another and to be united and work together. And everything that God is for, Team Satan is right there to trip us up, to get in the way, and to keep us from enjoying God's blessing and carrying out God's will in our lives. And so He is constantly rearranging our lives. The enemy is stepping on our toes, trying to get us entangled in all of the worries and things of this life. And our enemy, he is really good at it. You know, when there are no emergencies or things to think about, you know what he'll often help us do? He'll often get us to worry about not having anything to worry about. Has that ever happened to you? Interestingly enough, in the pages of the scripture, 57 times we are told, do not fear. 47 times we are told, do not be afraid. That's 104 times that the Bible is telling us not to embrace fear. Why is the Bible constantly telling us this message? Because fear robs us of our joy. It keeps us from being faithful. It disrupts our unity together. Instead of worshiping God with gratitude, we find ourselves consumed with fear and worry. Fear of what the day might bring. Fear of what the night might bring. Fear of what the doctor might find. Fear that we might lose our job. Fear that we won't have enough money at the end of the month. Fear that we'll never find a mate. Fear that we will not graduate. Fear that we will not succeed. Fear that people will see us as a failure. Fear of disappointing our family. Fear of for our children. Fear for our grandchildren. Fear, fear, fear. And sometimes we can get locked into where we just move from one fear to another throughout the week. Imagine what that does to the soul. That is not God's will for you, to always be burdened and weighed down with fear. God told Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whatever this week holds for you, you go with the Spirit of the Lord. What is there to fear? Whatever comes, God's not going to abandon you. God will have your back. He'll be right there. We need not be afraid. We have the eternal power of Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit. And the opposite of fear is what? Faith. This is where the rubber meets the road. We are people of faith, not fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. So if we're going to live by faith and be joyful in Christ, which in turn blesses God and strengthens our unity, we're going to have to do some spiritual warfare. You know that our warfare is not against earthly principalities and powers. Paul says it's against demonic forces of evil in heavenly realms. That's where the real battle is. It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. And so if we're going to battle and face off these fears, we're going to have to kill some ants. You ever kill any ants? Well, I'm not talking about those ants. Dr. Daniel Amen says ants are these automatic negative thoughts. This is a book my wife and I read here about a year and a half ago. And in his book, he talks about the various functions of the brain and their specific functions. And I don't want to get bogged down in all that. I think I have another slide here on the brain here. I want to focus in on one area. It's called the anterior cingulate gyrus. Say that after me. Anterior cingulate gyrus. What does that do? That pulls all the various parts of the brain activity together as we juggle through various activities and challenges throughout the day. This is the brain's transmission center, where you can shift your attention from one idea to another, focusing on one thing to another. This is where fear and anxiety wreak havoc and do their damage on our minds. So as we try to keep our minds focused, what happens is worry will cause our minds not to be able to shift to a new idea. Have you ever been involved in something and you're trying to focus, but every 5 minutes you shift back into this concern, this worry at home, this health concern, this financial concern, this disagreement you had with somebody at the office? This is where the anterior cingulate gyrus, this is where it takes its action. Instead of allowing us to shift from one thing to another, we get locked down. And we struggle. And so every time we want to move on to something else, it's like a bad transmission. You ever had a bad transmission? I mean, there are days I've allowed the enemy to sow fear to such extent I was mentally paralyzed. I couldn't even focus and move on with my day. And so these fears, these automatic negative thoughts that keep popping into our brain, keeping our anterior cingulate gyrus from operating as it should, rather than focusing on positive stuff, just kind of locked in to all this negative stuff and all these worries. And then, you know, we're not able to be encouraging to one another. And that really disrupts our unity because we're just so focused on ourselves and all these things that we forget there are other people struggling along that need us to encourage them and to pray for them, to be there for them. And we get locked into all these worries and fears. And just like the ants in our home, these negative thoughts, they start infesting our minds. And Satan, he'll use them to rob us of our peace and our joy and to keep us from focusing on the unity that we have in Jesus. So I have a list here of ants that Satan likes to use on us. And so here's the first one. The always thinking ant. You know, we think that bad stuff, unfortunate stuff, always happens to us. Everyone else seems to get a break, but not me. That's one kind of ant. What kind of automatic negative thought? Here's another one. It's the glass is half full ant. It doesn't matter who we are, where we are, or who we are with, what we're doing. We just happen to see the flaws. We happen to see where people can improve themselves. Not that there's not a place for evaluation, but we get so locked into a critical mode that we don't embrace the blessing of what we're doing, or who we are doing it with. And it's tough to be joyful. It's tough for others to be joyful around us as we just critically noticing. And our glass is just half full. There's the fortune-telling ant. This is where you always predict the worst outcome. There's a challenge. We get some bad news about our finances, our health, or school. And we go to the worst-case scenario. We play that out in our minds. My wife is an RN, and when she was in nursing school, every night she had a new disease. Every night she was reading and studying a nursing book, and she had like 10 symptoms, right? She might have two. Oh, I got this disease. I need to call it. It was just interesting, you know. You can get in trouble with WebMD. Have you noticed that? Have you ever tried to diagnose yourself? They got some disease, you can't even pronounce it, you know you got it. You play the worst case, that's the fortune telling end. Just play that to its worst possible end. There's the mind-reading ant, who will begin to read the minds of others around us. So you pass someone in the hallway, they forget to look up and say hello, and you go, I knew he didn't like me. Maybe he's just running late for Sunday school, okay? Oh no, he doesn't like me, he didn't make eye contact. And so we speculate, right, about how people feel about us. See how this is working? How Satan disrupts the unity in our church by planting these ants in our minds? Look what we're doing. We're starting to question one another. Then there is the guilt-beating ant. This happens when you beat yourself up, even for sins that have been covered in the blood. You've already repented of them, right? Been covered in the blood of Jesus. Satan still brings it up. He starts beat you down, so that you just don't feel like you can serve the Lord. You got these things, and that's not the Holy Spirit talking, that's the devil talking. If you've repented of it and covered it with the blood of Christ, it's done. As far as the east is from the west, says the psalmist, so far, I remove your transgressions and remember them no more, says God. This is the most poisonous mother of all mother ants. Blaming others. The blaming other ant. It's someone else's fault. I don't have friends. I don't have money. I feel lonely. It's all someone else's fault. This would have never happened if so-and-so did X, Y, and Z. And so we never take responsibility for ourselves or our own spiritual, mental health. God blamed everybody else. Somebody else's fault. So those are the various ants right there that come and infest our minds. They lock up our interior cingulate gyrus in a prison of fear. They rob us of our joy, our thankfulness, and our unity in Christ. As you look at the list, what might be the one big ant that you're working through right now in your life? It's the one that kind of stands out and goes, you go, that's me. I know I gotta kill that ant. That ant is crushing me. That ant is weighing heavily on my spirit. You know, this is where spiritual warfare comes in. And so this morning I'm gonna give you some tools to do some spiritual warfare so you can kill these ants and let the joy of Christ continue to grow in you and to strengthen your unity and your ministry. So here's the first thing you could do. Sometimes it helps if you dissect your ant. Dissect them and see them for what they are. For example, let's look at the always thinking ant. Bad things always happen to me. How many of you believe that bad things always happen to you? I'm going to show you right now that's not the case. We're going to dissect that. How many of you are here this morning? How many of you are not here? You know what? You got out of bed. You stood up and you got here this morning. There are people this morning, I promise you, who could not get out of bed. And they're not here. If you don't think so, your pastor and I will take you to Susquehanna View Home. I'll take you. You'll meet some people who cannot literally get out of bed. See, bad things don't always happen to you. You have some good things going on in your life as well. Sometimes you have to pause and go, oh, that's right. I was able to get myself out of bed. I was able to take myself and make myself a cup of coffee. There are people who can't do that. No, you've got some good things going on in your life this morning. That's why you're here. How about this? Let's talk about the mind-reading ant. No one cares about me. Look at the people around you. These people love the Lord. Guess what? They can't love the Lord without also loving you. Jesus said that. People care about you. Someone showed up this morning, turned on the heat, turned on the lights, made sure all this worked right because they care about you. Your pastor, I know for a fact, will spend hours on his message every week. Why? He wants your faith encouraged. He wants you to be strong in the Lord. He cares about you. Come on now. No one cares about me. That's silliness. Take a moment, dissect that in. You've got people in your life who care about you. They spent time this week to put together this bulletin, to put together the various music, to make all this happen because they care about you. Here's another way to kill ants. Go to church. Get around people who love Jesus Christ. See, when we come together in worship, guess what? That kills ants. If you are missing in worship regularly, or if Sunday is the only time you're around Christians, no wonder you feel weak. No wonder you have ants crawling around in your mind. See, 99% of the time out in the world, Satan is telling you you're nobody. And he's tempting your flesh, right? And he's playing with you, and he's trying to get all caught up in all the temporary glitz and the broken promises of this world. With all of the secular negative pressure pressing in on our minds the other days of the week, how can we afford to miss Sunday morning? This is your one time to deprogram yourself from what Satan has done to you the other 6 days of the week. Getting around other believers who love Jesus Christ. Resetting that spiritual button so that you can recalibrate so you can be ready for the week to come. Get around God's people. In fact, Sunday's not enough for most of us. Get into a Bible study. Get into some fellowship with some other believers. They will keep you strong. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, what's going on? I'm with you. You want to feel like the Lord's with you? Get around other believers. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. It's something. There's something about the collective energy of God's people. When we come together, it just does something special. We feel the Spirit of the Lord, and we are encouraged and blessed. Here's another way to help hands. Meditate and memorize God's Word. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. Perhaps you want to take just a couple Bible verses that really speak to you. Put them on a card. At any time the devil comes and starts working on your mind, pull up that card and read that verse. Break down that verse word for word. Meditate on what that word means to you. How is God speaking to you? Listen, God's word is life-giving and true. In it you discover how God feels about you and his plan for your life. So when the enemy's lying to you, pull that out. Get into God's word. Listen, the very first thing I do in the morning is I get in God's word because I know how quickly my life can turn sideways. That's why it's so important to invite God into your day and to get into his word. That is his game plan for your life. Because if you don't, I trust you. Trust me. Satan's also got a game plan for your life. He's already planning it before you get out of bed. How are you going to counteract? Get into God's plan. How are you going to get into God's plan? Get into God's word. You follow me? Get into God's word. Meditate on it. You'll kill ants. Here's another way you can kill ants. I call it the confess it, repent of it, and forget it. You know, sometimes you feel guilty because we are guilty. But sometimes we feel guilty because the enemy again, he is putting that stuff in our minds. If you've not taken that to the Lord, that's my best advice. Just take it to the Lord. Confess it. Repent of it and forget it. Move on. John wrote, my little children, I am writing these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We got it covered. I should say Christ has it covered with his blood. So we can keep moving forward. Here's another way to kill ants. Serve others. God has given you resources. God has given you abilities. God has given you relationships that you can use to serve other people. It's a great distraction for whatever you might be worried about in your own life. When you start investing yourself in other people, it's a great distraction. And the other thing you discover is you're not the only one who's killing ants. Other people are trying to kill them too. In fact, you might discover that your ants compared to their ants are just little bitty things. So, serving others. You were created to serve. Yes, you were. 1 Peter 4:10, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Here's another ant. This might be redundant. Have breakfast, lunch, or a cup of coffee with another believer. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, sometimes it's really therapeutic. Talk to the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice if he talked back? And sometimes he does. You kind of get this notion like, the Lord's encouraging me through his word, or you're just communing with the Spirit. But a lot of times, it's nice to have someone who represents Jesus, who's following Jesus, to listen to us, and then to let them give some feedback. It's very therapeutic. Very therapeutic. You know, there's a place for Christian counseling. In fact, for professional counseling. But 90% of the time when people come to me and they say they need counseling, you know what they need? They just need another believer to listen to them. I know we have all these devices, these phones. We are less connected now with all these devices than we've ever been before. So we put a little emoji, a little meme, a little tweet. We go, oh, I'm connected. You're not connected with anybody. You can't fool this. The mind knows whether you are interacting in a personal relationship with somebody else. The devices are not getting it done. You were created to be a social creature. That means you're meant to shake someone's hand, to look someone in the eye, to hear someone's voice and have your voice heard. You are a relational being. Do not let the devices fool you. If they're to make our lives better, why is suicide up now more than it's ever been before in our country? I thought we were so technologically advanced. Oop, no. The devices can't get it done. Connect with another believer. You were created to be connected. And so go have a cup of coffee with somebody. And listen to somebody. And they'll be glad to listen in return. You'll be surprised at how much ministry you'll give and you'll receive by just spending some time with another believer. Here's another one. You can kill ants by playing Christian music that speaks to your heart. The psalmist says, sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. Singing praises to God is specifically mentioned and commanded 84 times in the psalm. I have one other prayer. I'm going to use your lighter here. I will not burn down your church. It's called a palms up, palms down prayer. Visualize yourself doing this. So we come to the Lord, right? And we give him our idea. We put our hands up and say, Lord, take this from me. What's the problem? I still got my hand. That's palms up. I got to give to the Lord. It's palms down. So visualize taking that concern, that fear to the Lord, but then dropping it. But we still bow the flesh, so what happens? We bend down and pick it up again, don't we? So what do you do when you pick it up again? You give it to him and do the whole exercise all over again. Well, Pastor, how many times did I do that? Well, let me ask you this. If a little child runs up the road, how many times do you get that child? Every time. Every time. So how many times do you do this? Every time. Every time. It might be 1,000 times. Doesn't matter. You do it every time. Every time you pick up that fear, every time you pick up that worry, you give it to the Lord and you drop it into his lap. Sometimes you do great. Sometimes you go a whole month before you pick it up. Sometimes it's just a week. Sometimes it's several times a day. But you do it every time. Do not allow that fear to override your faith. Do not allow the enemy, the devil, to play with your mind. Turn it over to the Lord. So there it is. There's our list. Next slide, please. That's our list right there. Those are ways in which you can do spiritual warfare to kill the ants that the enemy is trying to infect in your mind. Paul said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. That's what it means to have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to live by faith or by fear and the things of this world and how this world operates. I'm going to live by faith as I immerse myself in the world through the Bible. And I allow that to dominate my thinking. God's word. So there you are. I do believe that that's a great formula to strengthen your unity at the Liberty Baptist Church. A great way you can support your pastor and your church leaders. You know, by making yourself stronger in the Lord, walking closer to the Lord, you will become a better church person. You'll become a better brother, a better sister in Christ, a better servant of Jesus Christ. But it all starts up here in the mind and in the heart where the devil comes and he just starts lying to us. And when he does, we do spiritual warfare. We start killing those ants. Just start killing those ants. Our hope is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, it is Jesus who is the author and perfecter of our faith. What he did for us at Calvary, that is what inspires us and motivates us as brothers and sisters in Christ to walk together, to grow together, to reach out to the lost together. And the enemy, his job is to get in the way of all that and he'll start right here. It's where it always starts. He plants this little seed, and then we let that thing take root. And he wants to beat us down. But the good news is this. Greater is he who lives in us than he who is in the world. Do you believe that? Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's got good for you. God loves you. Gave his only son for you. Listen, the deck is stacked in our favor. Have you read the end of that book? Guess who wins? You will be vindicated. You will not be sorry for where you've placed your faith. And in hope of the one who will return. And one day, he will come back. And every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every valley will be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be laid low. The crooked places straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh will see it together. And you're going to hear our Lord say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Almighty God, I pray for Liberty Baptist Church this morning. I pray, dear Father, you will bless them as we all recommit our allegiance to you in Jesus Christ. Bless them in their ministry. Bless them in their devotion to you. Bless them as they walk with you, as they pray to you, as they study your word, as they serve one another, as they love and forgive each other, as they support their pastor and their leaders, dear God. Dear God, as we follow the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, bless them and encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand and sing our invitation hymn. Don't leave this place if you don't know who Jesus is.
Amen.
I want to offer to you the opportunity to come forward so we can pray with you and tell you about it, let you know what the ultimate ant-killing tool is.